Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
I don't recall Karen singing that well 40 years ago. I recall her as the kid next door, across the street, who played with my children. And she probably got contaminated from my kids. They were great neighbors. It was a wonderful time when we were in Dos Palos. And I've cherished their friendship over the years. I told them this morning, many of you will know, and some of you will not, that my wife died four months ago after a long, long illness. And the earth kind of stopped moving for a while. It was tough. I had never been to my house when she was not there in 59 years. So I'm working through that. And as young as I am, that's pretty good. I turned 80 recently and... I thought it was a pretty good accomplishment, too. But I thank God that I have good health and am able to do and travel. In fact, I'll share something with you that may be crazy, but I've done a lot of travel, group travel, conducted people to different places. And I have a bee in my bonnet now to put something together to go around the world. So you may want to think about that. You may not want to go around the world. I'm not supposed to have commercials, am I? Oh, okay. No. I did this. Some of you will know I was a travel agent for California Baptist Foundation for a long time. At the same time, I worked for them in the Trust and Wills Division. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Good to have the opportunity to proclaim the Word of God. I don't know about you on the second time for the sermon, but this is my third time. Vernal preached it again over there in his Sunday school class. So, that's okay. I want to speak to you this morning about something that I think is very vital in the health of Christian people. Many people worry about, how can I know I'm in the will of God? How can I know I'm in the will of God? And many people fret over it. And sometimes people feel like they're out of the will of God because they have committed some sin that they've not gotten settled in their life. I remember years ago, I talked to a lady who said, you know, I'm quit coming to church because I've committed the unpardonable sin. And she told me what that was, and I opened the Bible and showed her where it said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I led her in a prayer, and I never saw the kind of relief that came over that person's life because she had realized that she was not lost. She simply had not accepted forgiveness for herself. For something she felt was unpardonable. So this morning, I want to talk to you about what the will of God is for you. Now, I'll point my thumb this way, all right? What the will of God is, how to know what the will of God is for you. I'll preface that by saying most of us are not destined to be supermen or superwomen, spiritually or otherwise. Most of us will be like Clark Kent. Anybody know what Clark Kent was like? Maybe you didn't read those comics. Some of the older folks will know that. A bespectacled newspaper reporter. Most of us will not be like Superwoman. We see other people leaping tall buildings. Everybody else can do that. We are bound by our inability to be in the will of God. while we trip and stumble over the banister at our house, trying to be in the will of God. But that doesn't mean that we can't find the central purpose, the central cause, the central will of God for us. I believe every person here this morning can know the will of God for you. So let's look at several things. One, of course, I would preface this message by is that God is not willing that any should perish. He is not willing that anybody should not be his child. He is not willing that anyone should die and leave this world unprepared for the next world. He wants, it's his will that everybody come to be his child. That's the basis for this. Then, how do you find the will of God once you do that? How do you find the will of God for your life? I struggled with that for a long time. Well, there are several things I would draw to your attention. In Romans 12, chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, passage of scripture that I've preached from many, many times, and that comes to, if I can find it here, I'm going to read it. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 is all I'm going to read. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And then he goes on to talk about how that is constituted. And I will be talking about that this morning, but not specifically about the things that you come to know on your own self. So the first thing I would say, if you want to know what the will of God is for you, if you want to know what the will of God is for you, there are three things that I would suggest. One, that you assess your abilities. That's what the rest of that passage in Romans 12 talks about. See what you have that you can use for God. Assess your own abilities. And then determines the need you can meet using those abilities. Determine what the needs are using your abilities. Not pining for somebody else's abilities. Not yearning to be somebody else. But simply accepting who you are and the abilities that you have and using those for the cause of God and the well-being of people. You'll be in the will of God in that area. That is the will of God for you and for me. So you use those God-given abilities to serve Him within the world we're in. So you can rest assured if you do this, this is God's will for you. Now, that doesn't have to be something stupendous. Very few people do super stupendous things. That may not be a good word, but you know what I mean. We live in a world bombarded by special things and great things and super effects. Who would have thought when I was a kid that you'd come into a church and see this? And our senses are bombarded with many things. And sometimes we feel we have to be super then in order to be acceptable to God, to be in His will. My father told me about his going to a movie when he was a young fellow. And movies weren't really, well, it was fairly new. And he went to one, he and the boy, and he sat on the front seat of the movie. And they had a train, you know, they used to have train effects where the train would come roaring right out of the screen at you. And this kid was there and he got scared and he said, "My God, Mark, get out of this thing, it's going to kill us all." And we think that so many things are like that. There have to be stupendous things in order to be used. But we don't have to have super things. If you take these simple steps, you can rest assured this is God's will for you. If you take those simple steps, you can have the peace of God for you. Let me tell you why. For you are using what you have, where you are, for God's purpose, to carry out the will of God. Now, that's being in God's will. If you use what you have, where you are, to serve the Lord you can say, I am in the will of God in that area. You're not a second-class citizen. You're a first-class citizen because you're doing what God gave you. You're doing what he meant for you to do with it, and you're serving him. Now, I think that's a pretty good thing. Some people worry that they can't find the will of God. Well, you can find it in that area, and you can relax and know that you're in the will of God in that area if you do the best you can with what you have where you are. The next thing I would say to you, the next guideline for finding the will of God for you is study the scriptures. Study the Bible. Study this word. Find out what it says. I have some very strong convictions about that. There are some things you can know without storming the gates of heaven, without praying all night to find out what's right. If the Bible says something is right, it's right, and you can do it. And you ought to be doing it if you have that talent. You ought to be. You don't have to have a debate. You don't have to seek guidance from a counselor or a Bible specialist. Just read the book, and the book says it's right, do it. And you're in the will of God. That's the will of God for you to do with what you have, where you are. If it's right, do it. So I would say that it's surely the will of God that we live this way. It's surely the will in the will of God. And if the Bible says something is wrong, then what? Don't do it. Now that's simple, isn't it? That was hard to find God's will in that area, wasn't it? If the Bible says it's wrong, no matter which Dr. Bottle Stopper or anybody else says it's right, it is not right. It's wrong. So there's no debate. So if the Bible says it's wrong, you don't need to try to justify doing something if the Bible says it's wrong, because it's still wrong, no matter what. Many things about the Bible we don't understand, or I don't understand. I suspect there are a few of you who don't understand a lot of the Bible. Many things I don't understand, but you don't have to settle all those to be in God's will. You never will understand all the Bible and all the truths of that. The Ten Commandments are very clear. You live by those, and guess what? You're in the will of God. You're living in the will of God if you live by those. If you live by what the Bible says. The great commandment, and the second like it, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. And the second is like unto it. Do what? Anybody ever read this book? Thy neighbor as thyself. I know you have. I know everybody here has. So it's very explicit. So strive to live by this, for this is the will of God for you. Very, very clear. Many other promises or directions in the Bible are very clear. John 3:16 says what? That's pretty clear, isn't it? Said whoever can become a Christian. Whoever can have salvation if they come to Christ. All right. And John 3:36 says, I come not to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved. That's God's will for the world. Praying the heart. Somebody had said you ought to pray the heart of God. Well, if you live by these, for this is the will of God. But this is the will of God for you to live by these things. Now, some things are debatable and puzzling. Are you ever puzzled by the Bible? Everybody here has everything down, right? Somehow I'm a skeptic. No, you know, we all have things that puzzle us in the Bible. But the central message of the Bible is so clear and so simple that it cannot be misunderstood. That's very plain. Let me say again, being in the will of God for you is not the same thing as marching toward by the world standards, because if you march by the world standards, you can't be in the will of God all the time. Sometimes you can march there, but not very often. If you follow the directions of the Ten Commandments, like I said, you can be in the will of God. You can have the peace of God if you live by the guidelines that are clear. Now, you can know you're right, for this is the will of God. I'm sorry. Let me turn again. Sometimes we want to know the perfect will of God. How to find the perfect will of God for me? Well, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 talk about that. In this, I don't speak about God's will for others. Now, I sometimes pray that others might get straight. Do you ever do that? Lord, I wish you'd straighten that guy out. And I know before I do that, that I'm not going to get my prayer answered. But this talks about being right for yourself. Listen, Jesus said what he did in Matthew 26, but he stormed the gates of heaven when he was saying, Father, if it's your will, let this cup depart from me, when he was facing the crucifixion. Let this cup pass from me. And he sweat, as it were, drops, some great drops of blood. But you see, he asked the Father for another way. But always he prayed what? Not my will, but thy will be done. And so he was willing to follow the will of God. Jesus was seeking the perfect will of God. He was trying to find the perfect will of God for his life. You remember David in the Old Testament when he had this baby by the lady who he had murdered her husband. And then she was to have that baby. And what happened to the baby? Baby was very sick, and it was sick unto death. And David wouldn't eat, he wouldn't change his clothes, he wouldn't talk, he didn't do anything for days. He simply fell on his face and prayed to God, God, spare this child's life. And the people were concerned about him. And then the child died. David got up, dressed, washed and dressed, and told them to bring food, and he ate. And then they said, what's wrong with him now? The baby's dead and he's not crying. But David had found something that we need to find. He had found the perfect will of God. He had decided if it's God's will that the baby not live, then he needed to get up and go on about living, going about doing those things which God had for him to do. In our praying for the will of God, remember a very basic principle. The will of God for you will never contradict the Word of God. The will of God for you will never contradict the Word of God. So if it's not in here, if it's not borne out by what the Word says, it probably is not the will of God for us. So the will of God will never contradict the Word of God. God will not answer your prayer in contradiction of His Word, except with a no. Now, we are perfectly justified and have biblical example to storm the gates of heaven, to pray. I don't pray. I told somebody earlier, I don't pray like I think I ought to. I don't pray as much as I ought to. I don't storm the gates of heaven all night. I wish I did. I wish I were that kind of prayer. I've longed for that at times, but that's not the kind of person I am for some reason. I pray. I pray all the time. I pray every day, but I don't have that mentality or that spirituality or something. But I do try to live in this area of constant prayer, of fervent prayer. And the Bible says, when you seek me, when you pray with all your heart, then shall you what? Find me. It's with fervent prayer. Now, there's a difference between having my way and finding God's way. Sometimes I wish that weren't true, or don't you? Sometimes I wish I could get my way. And sometimes God lets me have my way and He lets me pay for it, because it's not His will for my life. I must pray not to get my way. I must pray not to get my way, but to find God's way for me. The Bible declares that God has a plan for you. I believe that. I preach a sermon sometime that you are indispensable. And I believe that. You are indispensable to the cause of God. He has a plan for you, and if you don't carry out that plan with who you are, where you, and what you have and where you are, that part of God's plan will never be carried out. And you can't defeat God, but you're indispensable for his plan. His plan is for you and I to be his servants and to be his children and to serve him with what we have. And we can frustrate that part of his plan for us. The ultimate end, the purpose of prayer, is not to change the will of God, not to manipulate God into doing my will, but the ultimate purpose of prayer is to find God's plan and walk in it. To find God's plan and walk in it. For this is the will of God for you. Trust Jesus. Let me say them, summarize them a moment. I've got a couple of things I need to say, so I won't go past 12 o'clock, all right? This is the will of God for you. Trust Jesus. Take inventory of what he's given you. And follow the Bible. Use that inventory, by the way, and then follow the Bible. And pray to be centered perfectly in the will of God. Those things, maybe if you do those three things, you can be content that you are in the will of God. Now, God may have more for you, and somebody here this morning, maybe you may be that person. God may have more for you than these three or four steps I've had. I felt that God had more for me than those three or four things. And I became a preacher. But I became one at first because I couldn't get away from it. Somebody had written a book, one of the old timers, called The Hound of Heaven. If he's after you, brother, and he's got a will for your life, he won't let you alone until you do something about it. And so I found that that was the case for me. Surely, if we're receptive to his bidding, surely if we're receptive to his call, he is more concerned that we live by his will than we are. That's more concern for us. So he will certainly make you aware of the special plans he has for you. Let me just say one thing about my work. I used to work as a chemist. I worked in three or four laboratories. And I knew what I was doing. You'll think I'm egotistical, but I'm not. I was a pretty good chemist. And I used to be a school teacher. Just to put it in proper perspective, I also used to be a chicken plucker. So that you understand that that's not what makes you pleasing to God. But I say what I used to do because I couldn't wait in that laboratory until I got to the church. I couldn't wait till 5 o'clock and get away from there and go and dig trenches for the new church or visit in a hospital. Wonderful hospital ministry. Saw 55 people baptized out of that hospital. I couldn't wait to get out of that lab. But let me tell you, I've never had a day that I wasn't glad I'm a preacher. I'm glad I'm a preacher. I would joke a little bit. Janice used to ask me if I was still trying to preach. And I came back with a perfect squelch. No, I'm preaching. No trying anymore. If a man can stand in this desk and not be bothered sometime by what he does as preaching, something's wrong with him as a preacher. Now, let me say to you, I want you to follow those three things, would you? I want to stop. I've been too long. One, of course, the basis of this is that you've trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. Until you do that, you can't please God. But once you trust Jesus, you want to take inventory and see what you have. And you want to use what you have where you are for his cause. And then you want to read this book. This book gives you the guidelines. And you can depend on it. It's right. And then pray. Pray for God's will. Now maybe some of you here this morning have not trusted Christ. If you haven't, I invite you to come. David's going to talk about that invitation for a moment. But I'll be down front with some of the others.
Thank you, Dr. Jackson. This morning, let's stand together. This morning, as he just stated, maybe you've come to a place where you realize that you're seeking God's will, and one of the first steps you take in that will is to know Him, have a personal relationship with God. And this morning, maybe you're here and you don't have that, but yet you long for that, and you know that God has been dealing with you. There's something more about Him He wants you to know. This morning, we ask if you would come forward and let that be known. We have individuals here gladly to share with you how to know and follow Christ. Secondly, maybe you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. You have a relationship, but you've never made that public. We ask that you come forward this morning and let that be known. We can rejoice with you. Maybe you've been visiting our church for quite some time, and yet you've longed to get involved and join this fellowship because you have the gifts and abilities Dr. Jackson talking about. God has placed in you, and you're not using them at this time. We ask that you come, join the fellowship, and get involved. Maybe you want to pray. We ask that you come here, kneel, pray. Pray right where you're at this morning. But it all begins as we let Him wash us away, that we can become clear what He wants for us to do.
Wash away all the sin.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.